SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, home of Kentucky Derby 144, a very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevepick.com. You get to Louisville, 2 weeks out, obviously, and rainy Monday morning. Some works over the weekend, kind of easing into things. You think, okay, horses are arriving. We had good magic come over from Keeneland yesterday and so forth. It's all coming together. You think you're going to sort of just have a placid introduction to Derby Oaks. Instead, no. Immediately, rainy morning, and you think to yourself, okay, it's going to be very quiet. Rain and the track is sealed, so you know there's not going to be any real serious galloping other than some just light work and so forth. But word came at about 7:30, the Racing Post from Jeremy Noseda, from his yard, the word that Gronkowski has had a quote-unquote setback. And Noseda has not detailed it. We will actually talk to Nick Luck first, even before the invocation, even before Darren Rogers with his traditional kickoff to coverage. We'll talk to Nick. And Nick had been with Mendelsohn and Aidan O'Brien last week for some feature work for NBC, and he'll talk to Mendelsohn as well. But in the meantime, he's attempted to get more information from Jeremy Noseda. Noseda, regarding Gronkowski, which of course has been certainly a media hype, given Rob Gronkowski's coming to be involved with the horse, and it would be a quick education in racing for Gronkowski, the human, should the horse not be able to come over and participate. Regarding the potential that he declare from Derby, Combatant, who's been out every morning with the Asmussen contingent. One thing you can count on, whether the track is sealed, whether the track is paved, is that the Steve Asmussen horses will come out every morning, and that included Reride with a workout on Saturday, and Combatant, Snapper Sinclair, Dream Baby Dream, all out on a morning basis. And of course, Snapper Sinclair is headed for the American Turf instead of the Derby, but the other Asmussen horses hoping to get in, and Combatant would be the immediate beneficiary. And two other horses actually got in the way, got kind of jumped in terms of their being reconsidered as potential Derby entrants, that being Instilled Regard and Blending Citizen. And the two of them are 22 and 23, and then Reride 24. Dream Baby Dream 25, Restoring Hope 26. So should Combatant get in, the first of the Asmussen horses that were on the outside looking in. And of course, when we started this whole odyssey, going back to the beginning of the year and the points and the way things were shaping up, it seemed like Steve Asmussen had this outstanding set of cards to play. And in some ways, you know, a lot of the horses with styles that, particularly Combatant and Zing Zang, for instance, that, you know, precluded that they would be better off later on the trail with their styles and as the distances stretched out. But it just has not all come together the way they would have hoped. And, of course, Reride took the trip to Dubai after the good performance at Sunland, and he falls a little short. So keeping an eye on the news, and we'll see if Nick Luck, by the time we talk to him in about 15 minutes, if Nick has got more details from Noseda, and whether it's, you know, whether it's a spiking a fever and the kind of thing that he may have missed the days galloping. Does he have a hoof issue, a hangnail, as it were, a development of a quarter crack? You know, when you hear setback, it's usually something like that. Maybe the horse was colicky overnight and had some discomfort. That would be actually, in some ways, that would be even worse than some of the other potential definitions of a quote-unquote setback that would have the ability to clear itself up, or at least give them an indication within 24 hours. Because typically, if you've got a colic episode, you'll give the horse in some cases, give them a bit of a sedative to calm them, and that would be a problem. I mean, there's so many different ways without having the specifics from Noseda. So we'll see what Nick has to say, and we'll at the same time get a Mendelsohn report. And in fact, coming out of Dubai, we really didn't have a complete discussion with Nick specifically about Mendelsohn. So with the benefit of another 3 weeks, we can four now or right same as the yeah four it's been 4 weeks. So we'll talk to Nick Luck, and looking forward to it. Darren will join us immediately following, and we will kick off the the coverage from here at Churchill Downs. The weekend, watching everybody, for those of you that want to get caught up, beside this news that really did bubble to the top, there we'll get to the racing action from around the country. But the other story that can potentially impact Derby somewhat, I'm sure this will clear itself up as well, but the suspension that was handed down by the California stewards with Kent DeSormo and his ride when it came to Calculator in the Kona Gold on Saturday, when we've got so many football analogies, when basically Calculator was used as a pulling guard or as a tight end, a blocking tight end for stablemate Bobby Abu Dhabi, and Ransom the Moon, Flavian Pratt aboard, shoved three, four paths out off the turn for home, and that opened, not that it opened, the space was probably there anyway, but DeSormo being cited for that, what feels like a stunt. I know some people are saying, oh, well, he lost control of the horse. Okay, yeah, he lost control of the horse. DeSormo handed a suspension that would span into Derby. And so the suspension will have to be appealed if he's coming to ride, because the date covers over Saturday, May 5th. So we'll see. Let that one play out as well. So that was the other story from the last 24 hours that popped up. The rest of it, a lot of work and a lot of horse movement and the planning to a great degree. And of course, when we talked to Mike Welsh Thursday, he was keeping an eye on the Pletcher horses and the trio that worked at Palm Beach Downs, all three, Noble Indy and Audible and Vino Rosso. Magnum Moon, of course, still in the shadow of the Arkansas Derby performance. And you had Hofburg work at Payson Park. All of these, in fact, Good Magic's work from Saturday at Keeneland. I put a link up to that on Twitter because Good Magic arrived here from Keeneland yesterday about 2 o'clock, and he took a tour of the racetrack this morning, going the wrong way once around just to get out of his stall, get familiar, and we'll probably see him do a little bit more and get back into his routine tomorrow. But Hoffberg is going to be vanned from Florida. The other horses that took up all the space on the plane, apparently, imagine that the Pletcher horses, a big part of that. Out in California, you may have seen Justify, his 6-furlong work. We'll get through everything. And, of course, right here, going back to the weekend, all of the Dale Roman's horses, Oaks and Derby. We'll get Mike's thoughts. And if you haven't seen what he wrote Saturday morning, I got here in time. I actually ended up basically making it overnight and got in about 5:30 on Saturday. And the workout period for years has been the 8:30 to 8:45. That's been moved up. That's been moved up to 7:30. And actually suits quite well the schedule in the morning. And so was on hand for both of the Dale Roman's colts, Promises Fulfilled, and for Free Drop Billy. And to some degree, the fillies actually were the stars of the show. Coach Rocks, who's an eager worker anyway, and worked with Tammy Fox aboard. And, of course, Tammy, literal fly on a Dalmatian, as the saying was coined by Gary Young. But the fillies that were out on Saturday worked particularly well. And Monomoy Girl was also featured. And so she and Coach Rocks, a big part, I thought, of Saturday and the workouts. All of them available. You can see everything between the feed every morning featuring Ed DeRosa and Joe Christofek and James Scully. They've been doing shows on the Kentucky Derby live feed. You can access it at KentuckyDerby.com or at their Facebook page. And those shows have been fun. They've been featuring a trainer each morning, and not just Derby-oriented. They had Brad Cox yesterday and Tom Amos on Saturday and Dale Romans this morning. So lots of great news, notes, coverage coming out from that show in the morning. You can tune in yourself from wherever you are. And in addition, just going through, there it is. In addition to Promises Fulfilled and Free Drop Billy, Flame Away out for Mark Cassie. And Cassie, who had a big win Friday, Valadorna wins at Keeneland. If your weekend started early, you had a chance to watch the Double Dog Dare. And Curlin, who's all over the place for Hill and Dale, daughter of Curlin Valadorna. But Cassie, between Wonder Godot and Flame Away, with a nice hand going in to Derby Oaks. Blamed also worked, as it happens, for Joel Marr. Going to slip that in, too. Blamed, I think, has been kind of out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people. So nice, you know, just enough to keep us busy getting into the start of Derby Oaks coverage. The rest of the weekend. And, of course, yesterday you had that closing day at Aqueduct that was at least seemingly heightened by the the Naira Betts Pick 5 carryover opportunity. It ended up becoming, I mean, just crazily just dominated by the chalk. So it didn't pay. It paid $65 for every 50 cents. It was I guess, anticlimactic, right? I guess you could say that, I suppose. But it was a fun exercise anyway. The news, of course, from the stakes weekend was difficult. There were some results that were really heartening in terms of connections and in particular horsemen. We'll talk to Scooter Dickey in hour two, actually. Scooter wins the Elkhorn with One Go All Go. And this horse has been, he's just been amazing. I mean, we've talked about him, and Scooter acquired him privately, and there's actually an interesting story and connection on that front, too, to discuss with Scooter regarding the Prestons. But he's just been unbelievable, and he's a horse that does not like other horses passing him. He was tremendous. There's no other way to describe his performance in the Elkhorn. Up on the lead, as always, and then just doggedly turning back anybody that tried to get in front of him. It's in the post, who was dogging him the whole way around, and then Oscar Nominated showed up, and Call Provision, etc., and he just turned everybody away. Chris Landeros for Scooter, and so we'll talk about the amazing six-year-old son of Fairbanks. Every stallion gets a good horse, and for Fairbanks, this is his. One go, all go. The difficulty, of course, the injury to Bullard's Alley that forced his having to be euthanized. And the sadness here is profound. Tim Gleishaw and his staff, and Gleishaw has been, I mean, just clearly devastated. He's shared every reaction in this, and he's very heartened and appreciative of everybody's outpouring. But this is a devastating loss. Send out appropriate sympathies to Wayne Spaulding and Farron McCubbins and their families. I actually traveled just inadvertently on a plane, or at least once, with the connections, and very, very, very tough result on that front from the Elkhorn. 10 Blessings also lost to Baffert and the Earnhardts, and send out thoughts for them. Let's take a break and get into the news. We're live at Churchill Downs for the next 2 weeks.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Feeling like a frost and staring at the stars. It doesn't matter the cost, cause everybody wants to be famous. Some call the shots, so see you over a month. It doesn't matter the cost.
We're back at the races. We're at Churchill Downs, 2 weeks, of course, the annual trip, always one of our favorites. And let me also, before Nick Luck joins us, let me run down everybody that's making the coverage possible all through the Triple Crown, actually. And it includes the Virginia Equine Alliance that we've talked about so much, and the terrific residency program. And speaking of which, two-year-olds go through the ring starting tomorrow at OBS. They finished the Breeze Show on Saturday. The Match Series, and of course, when we get to Preakness week and Preakness weekend, the Match Series, the Mid-Atlantic program, back after a long hiatus, actually, and the Match Series, and of course, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders, Cole Ranch, Steve Cole and his team at the farm, and Thoroughgraph, everything you need to win. And, you know, I reached out to Nick Luck when this news broke earlier this morning, about 90 minutes ago, as the Racing Post in contact with Jeremy Noseda and Gronkowski. Not a definition of what a setback entailed, but that within 24 hours they should know where they stand. And, of course, that opens up possibilities for Combatant to get into the Derby field. So I reached out to Nick Luck, who last week was at Ballydoyle as well, and there's plenty to talk about. But I also realized it was the Queen's birthday over the weekend, and there's a baby, a royal baby, coming today. So, Nick, you've got chapter and verse to cover.
I have. Unfortunately, Steve, the royal baby is not mine, which was due on Friday and still is yet to materialize. I won't repeat to you what my wife said when she found out that Kate Cambridge was in labor this morning, but it wasn't all complimentary. So, yeah, the royal baby that I'm bothered about still yet to arrive, but congratulations to our heir to the throne and his bride on baby number three, a boy, though as yet unnamed. Perhaps they'll call him Gronk.
Well, hopefully there's no setbacks on this front. But the word came from Jeremy Noseda's yard, Nick. And do we know any more than we did when we first talked an hour ago?
No, it's funny enough. I'm minded of the royal correspondents who are currently hovering outside the Lindo wing at St. Mary's Hospital, Paddington, being thrown to by eager, voracious news anchors asking for more news on either the sex or the name of the royal baby. And they are crossed too earnestly, and they can provide absolutely no further details. So they say, yes, here I am standing outside the Lindo wing at St. Mary's Hospital, Paddington, The baby is a boy, but is as yet unnamed, which will be the case until such time as they name him. So you're ringing me and saying, is there any further news on Gronkowski? And I will say, no, there is no further news. I have, at your insistence, Steve, been in touch with Jeremy Nezita today. But sadly, I can reach him neither on his stable phone nor his cell phone, nor has he replied to a text that I sent him around about half an hour ago. So he is normally pretty good at communicating. So I would suggest that the concerns are significant enough that he doesn't want to commit anything further other than the very brief statement that he gives to the Racing Post, which read, he has met with a setback. We should know more inside the next 24 hours. But you don't want to be having a setback this close to the race, that's for sure.
Well, and we'll find out at some point, I'm sure, what the specifics were. And one thing we really had not done, talked in detail, other than I think we, before the UAE Derby, and before the World Cup, we had just touched on the competition level. And so we'll take a wait and see for now about what happens with Gronkowski. More important, it would seem, of the international invaders, Nick, Mendelsohn. And you were at Ballydoyle this past week. Bring us up to date. Over the weekend, Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore made it official that Ryan is going to come and ride in his second Derby.
Yeah, I don't think that's a massive surprise to anybody. I think it would have been a massive surprise if he wasn't going to ride in the Kentucky Derby, because ever since he rode there the first time, I think he's expressed a strong desire to go back and finish the business. And this is the best chance, certainly, that they've ever had of winning the race. And, you know, you could argue that chances like this only come around once in a generation, however strong an international bloodstock operation you've got. So no surprise at all that Ryan Moore's opting to come and ride Mendelsohn instead of staying in England to ride in the 2000 Guineas, a race in which he would most likely have ridden the favourite Gustav Klimt if he was going to be here. So, yeah, the likelihood is Ballydoyle will win the 2000 Guineas, but they have got a good chance in the Kentucky Derby, and I can quite see why Ryan wants to embrace the challenge of riding the horse that is potentially the most significant commercial entity they have at the moment.
What was the atmosphere regarding Mendelsohn and your conversations this week and your overall impressions dating back from Breeders' Cup? And, you know, he got a very fortuitous trip inside in the juvenile turf to win. Then it kind of reemerges on everybody's radar screen with the Derby win at Maidan from November forward, Nick, and into this past week. Some complete evaluation on your perspective on Mendelsohn.
Well, it was fascinating to. It's always fascinating to visit Ballydoyle, and the opportunity comes up with more, you know, for people in my profession with more regularity than you might expect, and it's quite notable to me the buzz around Mendelsohn. I don't think it's lost on anyone there the significance of making history by becoming the first European trained horse to win the Kentucky Derby. And I interviewed Aidan for NBC Sports, both for the coverage of the Kentucky Derby, but also for Royal Ascot later in the season as well. But needless to say, much of our focus was on Mendelsohn, and he had some interesting observations about the horse, which were that he was a horse that had a lot of talent and had that sort of slightly idiosyncratic character that you associate with the very, very top-class horses. He said he's a very fast twitch horse, that he's a horse that responds very readily to aids. Whenever he's asked, he will react with great rapidity. He compared him to some other horses he's had, you know, horses that might not have had quite his speed, who were just a little slower to move through the gears. But he said he was a very responsive horse, and a horse who was very acute to anything he was asked in a race or even at home. And he said that in part explains why, as a two-year-old, it took him a little time to grow up mentally, and it took him a little bit of time to get it together, because he was always reacting to his environment and his surroundings. And he felt that when they applied headgear to him, when they ran him in headgear towards the back end of last year, it enabled him to harness his talent in the right direction and to add application to his ability. essentially. So after some fairly inauspicious runs, he then got it all together by running a really good second in the Dewhurst, and on it went from there. And you sense that he was told when the horse came into the stable with the pedigree that he had that this was a horse who he might have in mind for the big American dirt races further down the track. So they were working backwards from the Kentucky Derby, even at a fairly early stage. And so therefore it was Dewhurst. And then when they got the blinkers on and he'd learnt, it was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Why not the dirt? Because they didn't feel he was mentally ready for the juvenile last year, even though they were confident he'd handle the surface. And yes, they were proved right. But that turf race, Steve, is working out extremely well. Any number of horses in behind in that race have come out and posted big performances this week. James Garfield won the Greenham Stakes at Newbury quite impressively, not quite as impressively as Massar, who was a little bit unlucky in the run in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, won the Craven Stakes. So the two big early classic trials in England this season have both been won by horses who were in the backwash behind Mendelssohn in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And then, of course, he moved through and continued his education through the winter and then went to the UAE Derby, and we know the rest. So, yeah, I think there is a serious buzz about the horse, and you can understand why.
Nick, you've observed these kinds of horses before. This may be a little different just because of the pedigree and the uniqueness of his siblings and what they represent. Obviously, Into Mischief, Hot Young Sire, and Beholder, one of the best mares of recent vintage in terms of the sibling strength. But as you watch him and you see replays and you see his growth, What's your feel as to what makes him different potentially to succeed where a number of others in this arena have failed?
Well, I just think that there are fewer uncertainties about his suitability for the task. You know, quite often we've had horses that have had reasonable pedigrees for the race but haven't really got the level of performance required and haven't got the conditioning required. Or you have a horse who's had plenty of experience, maybe has been to a Breeders' Cup, but is a horse who hasn't really got potential to improve as a three-year-old. Johannesburg would be the obvious example of that. Or you've got a horse who's got lots of good form but neither has the experience of traveling nor has a dirt-based pedigree that would give you hope. But you know, you've mentioned the pedigree of this horse, Mendelssohn. We know that he's been conditioned with this race in mind from a long, long way out. You know, this isn't just a, right, well, what are we going to throw in the Kentucky Derby this year? And so there are fewer uncertainties, I think, surrounding his suitability for this task. You still wonder whether a horse who's fairly high-mettled, a horse who was whinnying quite extensively in the paddock before the UAE Derby, a horse who still got signs of babyishness, if you like. You still wonder whether that atmosphere on Derby Day is going to get to him. But if he handles it and he copes with it and he's professional enough for it, then he's going to run a big race.
Well, notable to me that, and I suppose unsurprising, the marketplace when it comes to the anti-post prices in the betting shops. Trading pretty much even with Justify across the 9-2 down to 4-1 range, the two of them, with Audible, Magnum Moon, Bolt Doro to follow.
Yeah, I think I'd have him. I think I'd have him second or third in, perhaps behind Justify and Audible. I think in any ordinary year, I'd put a horse who did what he did last time with that sort of emphasis, with his sort of pedigree. I'd stick him at the head of the market, but this isn't any ordinary year, and I think I'd have him, second or third in, I think.
Ryan Moore, for his part, and he had his first ride was Lines of Battle, was the first horse that he rode in a Derby, and that was, it's got to be 5 years ago now, and I thought Aidan O'Brien's quotes yesterday were, we're pretty revealing that Moore, and it kind of shows you because Moore is not the most demonstrative, but I thought that O'Brien's quotes were interesting in the way he he said Moore has dreamed about this race as much as any, and how fascinated he's been with an opportunity to come and succeed here. And he's certainly a guy that, Nick, you got to respect, and you know, I don't think anybody should be put off that you know Ryan Moore's going to ride and you know, only his second Derby. You'll hear those kinds of things, but as good a rider as there is in the world.
Yeah, he's outstanding, and he's been riding exceptionally well, just as well as ever of late. Anyway, so he's a horse. He's a rider, I think, who you quite rightly say, you know, he keeps his own counsel, and he doesn't say too much when he doesn't need to say too much. He's economical with his words, but always informative when he chooses to speak. But he's made no secret of his regard for this race, both as a race to ride in, but also as an event, and how the event gets to you as a competitor when you're in it. And I think when he came over and rode in the Derby last time, he was just so struck by what he perceived to be something completely unique. And that, you know, that includes riding everywhere, you know, Japan and Australia and Hong Kong and England, France, Germany, Ireland, and all the best races, all the marquee races, all the races where there are huge crowds, great atmospheres. But he said this was unlike anything he'd ever experienced before. And I think the year that he rode in the race, or the most recent time he rode in the race, it was run in very, very wet conditions. And he said it almost added to the intensity of it. And he couldn't get enough of it. He came back the next day, and I interviewed him on Channel 4, and he was absolutely buzzing about it. It clearly left a significantly deep impression. And hopefully Mendelsohn can be the horse to do it for them.
Well, we will wait and watch for word from Jeremy Noseda and Phoenix Thoroughbreds regarding Gronkowski.
Before I go, can I?
Yeah,
I want to take the Steve Bick Show temperature on this Gronkowski thing, because I've been reading with interest on social media, and it seems that you either think that Gronkowski getting a share in his namesake was the savior of this dying sport, or you just take an incredibly snarky attitude to it and think that it's the worst story ever, and that media organizations shouldn't get bound up in it. Is it possible just to take the sensible view, which is that it's quite a fun story that he's taken a share in a horse that he's named after, and it's going to provide a bit of added interest to the race, but not believe that it's the most fundamental event to happen to the sport ever? I mean, can one sit on the fence on this and just take a sort of sensible middle view, or do you have to be sort of polarized in the manner of all social media debates these days?
I would say, and it's interesting that you bring it up, because I only really noticed that potential divisiveness about this. I only really noticed it yesterday and had it brought up in a couple of places and saw it discussed. I, you know, at the time just thought, okay, this will be fun. I mean, it's something that, you know, mainstream type sports coverage, you know, would take an added interest in. But other than that, I mean, sports fans and football fans are already aware of the Kentucky Derby. I don't know how many more eyes it would bring to the event, but any that it might is always welcome. The one, frankly, that is not getting any attention is Audible, because the people at the Audible business entity, the digital media company, they've gotten into a cooperative kind of a deal to some degree with the Audible team. And the people that are listening to books on tape, quote unquote, you know, listening to digital communication, they, to me, are more, you know, might take an interest more, you know, from an obscure vantage point. I thought that hasn't gotten nearly the attention that Gronkowski predictably would, but to me, it's a non-story, but I understand the the two perspectives.
Well, yeah, listen, I think you just got to, I hope for Jeremy's sake, at any rate, this horse's injury is not too serious. It doesn't sound as though it's the sort of setback you want this close to the race. But as I say, I know that the whole adventure means a hell of a lot to him. He's had a tough time of it recently, professionally and personally. So, I hope for him that this journey that he's been dreaming of can come off. It's a big ask. It's a big task. And this isn't particularly encouraging news. But anyway, fingers crossed for him, and fingers crossed that Mendelssohn, no complications with him the next couple of weeks, and that he can fly the flag for Ireland and for Aidan O'Brien.
One more portion, because I just got a very interesting question. Jay Hubdy of The Form asking how many races on dirt Ryan Moore has won in his career.
Oh, now that is a good question. He'll have won some races in Japan on dirt, that's for sure. And probably quite a few, but I'd have to go back into the books and have a look. I tell you what, that will be my task for this afternoon, working out how many dirt races Ryan Moore has won in total. Because my honest answer is I don't know off the top of my head. And obviously we don't have any dirt racing as such here. We have plenty of racing on the synthetic, and there's no dirt racing in Ireland, but there is plenty of dirt racing in Japan, where Ryan rides quite a lot, and obviously he's ridden on the dirt quite a few times in the US. Though, has he had any wins on dirt in the States? And I'm probably missing something completely obvious. People are throwing things at the radio as we speak. But I'll do my best, Jay, to find out for you.
Nick, I appreciate it, and of course I appreciate Jay Hubdy with a very salient question. Tremendous, and we'll keep an eye on if you hear anything, Nick.
We obviously know he's won the UAE Derby. At any rate, that's
yes, exactly. That I mean, that's the and I would think that
and he won the Godolphin Mile on the same card as well. So that's two from the two dirt races I've seen him ride in this year.
Absolutely, and I would think, what about things like, well, you mentioned Japan or Singapore, Japan Cup is on grass.
Japan there is dirt, and he'll have definitely ridden a few winners on the dirt in Japan. And he's ridden plenty of winners on the dirt in the UAE as well. But, it's an interesting question. I will endeavor to find out.
Nick Luck, everyone, and of course we'll come back to you should the baby should there are you headed over to the Royal Hospital?
No, we're not quite in that kind of elite company, Steve.
Well, I do have to check and see, are they betting? They must be betting on the name too, right?
I think they are. Last time I saw, Mary was favorite, but unfortunately I don't know many boys called Mary, so I guess we reformed the market.
now that we know it's a boy, and a lot of things going on across the way. Nick, thanks so much.
No worries. Cheers, Steve.
Always great. Nick Luck, everybody, is so much fun. keep an eye. We'll get you all the news, whether it's the Royal Baby or whether it's Gronkowski. We're live at Churchill, just getting going. Darren Rogers is going to join us, and we will get the official invocation. Start your derby, as it were, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.